morning. And Doug, you are right. We are definitely few in number today. A lot of blank spaces out there. Hopefully those people are with us in spirit today, because we need those pews filled. If you would turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, and we're in this little series on Sunday mornings for 4 weeks. The first week we talked, basically I gave a challenge to the church, and that is that each one is the reach one. And that's the challenge for the year, to try to challenge all of us to be reaching out to others this year. Jennifer Wade, had a friend of hers she worked with, Linda Malaska, and last week she obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we were certainly excited about that. But that's influence, and that's a good thing, and that's what we want to do. We want to encourage people to come to Christ, and sometimes that begins with being invited to church. Sometimes that begins by being invited to dinner at your home. It happens in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it happens through serving people, but we certainly want to do all that we can to reach people for Jesus Christ. And then last week we talked about the different types of soils that we encounter as we looked at the parable of the soils. And the only thing is, you know, I wanted you to see that, yeah, there are different types of soil that you will encounter, but then we turned it around and we also recognize that we too are soil. And so some of us, you know, can be the path-trodden soil. Some of us can be the rocky soil. Some of us can be the thorny soil. And some of us are the good soil. And so we assume that we're good soil when we may not be good soil. That's an assumption that we make sometimes because we're here. We need to continue to work on our ground. Any good farmer knows if you don't till that ground will become hard. If you don't work on the weeds, they'll take over. That's just the way it works. And so we have to continually work on our own ground. And that was kind of the challenge as well. And today I want to talk about being salt and light to the world. And so in Matthew chapter 5, I want us to read verses 13 through 16 together. And Jesus says to us, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The text that we just read says something about us, and it says something about the world in which we live. And so first of all, I want us to consider this morning what the text says about us as the people of God. Now, it's important to note that Jesus had just given the Beatitudes. He was outlining the type of character required to be a disciple of Jesus. He talked about being poor in spirit, and those who mourn, and those who are meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, those who are peacemakers, and those who are willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And now Jesus talks about the effect of that character as he says, "You are the light, the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, the function of the believer in the world, if I could reduce it to one word, this is the word that I would reduce it to: influence. Influence. That's the word. That's an important word because that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do in the world. He wants us to be an influence. He wants us to influence our world in such a way that they bring glory to God. And so our Lord is saying that the Christian who lives according to the Beatitudes is going to influence the world as salt and light in all that a person does and is or is not. The sum total of our character, consciously or otherwise, affects other people. And we need to know that. That we either have a positive influence or we have a negative influence, but we influence one way or the other. It's either for good or it's for bad. There is no in-between. So we're either encouraging people to do the right thing or we're encouraging people to do the wrong thing. And so this is perhaps the greatest passage in the Bible on the power of Christian influence. Now, Peanuts cartoon showed Peppermint Patty talking to Charlie Brown. And she said, "Guess what, Chuck? The first day of school and I got sent to the principal's office. It's your fault, Chuck." He said, "My fault? How could it be my fault? Why do you say everything is my fault?" She said, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." And so while Peppermint Patty was seeking to pass the buck, she was in a very real sense right. You see, we should be a good influence on other people. And we certainly do have an influence. And as I said, we're either going to influence people in a positive way or we're going to influence people in a negative way. And so it's very important to see that we have influence. And Jesus wants us to have a very positive influence. An influence makes a difference in the world. We'll talk more about that as we journey through the text today and go through what Jesus is telling us. But the second thing I want you to see here is that Jesus is being very exclusive when he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, he's being extremely exclusive here. You see, we alone are the salt of the earth. There is no other. We alone are the light of the world. There is no other light. And so, we are the salt. We are the light. And if we don't do our job, then the Lord's work is not going to be accomplished in the world. You see, we can't put our light under a bushel. That's not the purpose, but some of us do. We put it under the bushel of ignorance. We put our light under the bushel of worldliness. We put our light under the bushel of half-heartedness. We put our light under the basket of unfaithfulness or faithlessness. And therefore, our light doesn't shine, and we are not a positive influence to the world. God wants our light to be set up on a candlestick so that all can see it. And so, the world says, or the Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Now, I want us to see what the text says about our world, and then we'll put all this together. You see, I think this text presupposes two things. Number one, the world in which we live is decaying. That's the first thing. And secondly, the world in which we are living is in darkness and needs light. And so Jesus says we have a valuable role in this dark, decaying world in which we are living. You see, we are the only ones who can prevent decay. We are the only ones who can shed light. No one else can do that. And so our world needs us. You see, without us, the world will perish. If we don't spread the light, who's going to? If we're not salt to the world, who's going to be salt to the world? I mean, who's going to take our place? If we don't do what God calls us to do, who is going to do it? And you know the answer to the question. Nobody's going to do it. If we don't do it, it doesn't get done. And so our world is decaying. Our world is putrid. Our world is decomposing. And the stench of murder and rape and child molestation and violence and homosexual relations and deceit and alcohol and drug abuse and theft and genocide hangs in the air like a dead animal on a hot summer night. You can just smell the stench of our world. And here we're being commissioned by Jesus to be the world's preserving power. And so the church needs to get out of the church building. And it needs to get into the world where it can influence, where it can make a difference. And that's important because the world decays so quickly. And we're the only ones who can prevent this decaying process. And if we don't, it will continue to go downhill. There was a book written some years ago, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. And basically it's encouraging Christians to get out of their church buildings, to get out of their holy huddles, and get out into the world where we can make a difference, because that's the only place we can make a difference. We're not really influencing people in here. Now, we're influencing people around us that, hey, on Sunday mornings, this is a good place to be, and we should assemble. And so there is that kind of influence, but we're not impacting Enid, Oklahoma, by our being here today. There probably aren't very many people that even know we're here. Now, there may be one or two people that know you're here, but that's it. So it's not really impacting the people in our community. We're not making a difference in Enid, Oklahoma, just because we're gathered here. Hopefully, our gathering here will encourage us to go out and make a difference in Enid, Oklahoma. I think that's the way that it's supposed to work. That's the whole purpose of our gathering together like this, to encourage each other to continue to do the work that God has called us to do. But society has a way of spoiling so rapidly. Think about it for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about the fall of mankind. Adam and Eve sin against God. Three chapters later, God says, enough. And just three chapters, God says, that's it. All mankind has corrupted himself upon the earth, and I'm going to bring an end to man. Just three chapters, and the whole earth is corrupt. You see, that's the world in which we're living. That's what happens in a society when there isn't salt and there isn't light. It goes down rather quickly. And so the church has to be an influence. And I believe that the church has been the only influence in the world keeping it going and keeping the world from going downhill. Think about the positive influence that the church has had upon our world. I mean, without the church, you wouldn't have colleges. They were first founded by people who believe in Jesus. And so we wouldn't be as educated as we are. We'd still be in the dark ages if it were not for believers in Jesus Christ. If it were not for Christians, there wouldn't be hospitals. If it were not for Christians, there wouldn't be charitable organizations. If it were not for, you know, Christians, there wouldn't be people working in the inner cities and feeding people and helping people. And so, if it were not for Christians, there wouldn't be people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. There wouldn't be missionaries scattering all over the globe to tell people about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so by doing these things, the church has been a positive influence. It's been salt, and it's been light, and it's made a difference. And I believe the only reason that our world continues to function is because of the salt and because of the light. And without it, we'd have already gone downhill. The church plays such a vital role in our world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world, and we need to grasp the importance of this. And maybe you've even noticed with people maybe you work with who know you're a believer in Christ, and maybe you walk into an office, and maybe they're engaging in foul talk, and the minute you walk in, what do? They stop. Why do they stop? Because you're a believer, and they know it. And they want to respect you. And so you, just you walking in restrains them. Now, I know that doesn't happen all the time, but that happens a lot of times. And that's the kind of influence that we have in the world. And it's a very positive influence. You see, our world is decaying, but also our world is in the darkness. Now, the world is not going to admit this. The world is not going to say, we're in darkness. In fact, you hear people say all the time, well, we live in an enlightened age. And it's true that we live in a time of many technological advances. However, with all of our technology, the human heart is no better off today than it was thousands of years ago. It's still a very ugly thing at times. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, the Bible says. And so, and by the way, in case you haven't noticed, things aren't getting better in the world. In fact, Paul says to Timothy, he says, evil men shall become worse and worse. And so we can expect that the world is going to decline. That's going to happen. And technology can't fix the corruption of the human heart, no matter how good it is. Now, the world actually prefers the darkness. And light's purpose is to expose the darkness. Paul says the hidden things of darkness, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. And Jesus said that the people of his day, that they loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And so the world operates under the cover of darkness. And darkness is a term that is used to describe evil, and it describes ignorance. It describes evil in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so in that particular section of Scripture, you have these metaphors, light and darkness, and light represents God. Light represents all that is good and pure and holy, and darkness represents unrighteousness and evil and wickedness. And so darkness, when we're talking about that, what we're talking about is evil, the evil in the world. And God wants us to dispel that. He wants us to expose that. That's our job. That's our function in the world. But also, it displays, talks about ignorance. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 18, he says, concerning the Gentiles, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And so Paul talks about the mind being darkened. And that's why when you talk to people about their lifestyle, they don't have a problem with it. They don't see that it's wrong. They think it's really okay. They believe that it's right. And it's all because they're darkened in their understanding. And our job is to help their understanding, to clear up their understanding, to enlighten them. And we can only enlighten through teaching, through instruction that comes from the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like the moral and the spiritual darkness that is in our world. And sometimes when I look at our world, to tell you the truth, I get very discouraged. Very discouraged. Sometimes the darkness just grows so thick that I believe at times that there is no hope. And it's at those times that I have to remind myself that light has no purpose if there's no darkness. And so, doesn't matter how dark it is in our world, that just reminds me how important my role is in the world. Rather than being discouraged by the darkness, I should rather be encouraged because I know that I can make a difference. I know that God wants me to make a difference. You see, as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to let our light shine. And let our light shine by leading the right kind of life. In fact, let me share with you a passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Paul shows how this works in a powerful way. Beginning in verse 12, Paul says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good purpose or pleasure." He says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Notice, "so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." And so Paul's saying to them there, live the life that God has called you to live. And in this dark, perverse world, you will shine like stars in the sky. And that's what God wants and God expects from all of us. And that's what the world needs. The world needs illumination. And we illuminate the world. And we illuminate their understanding through teaching. And by living the life that God has called us to live. In fact, the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my path." And so how can we be the light of the world? Maybe that's a question that some people have. You know, because Jesus said He was the light of the world. And so if He is the light of the world, then Ray, how can you say that we are the light of the world? Either He is or we are. The truth of the matter is we both are. But we reflect the light of Jesus. In the same way that the moon reflects the sun, we, the people of God, reflect the sun as we emulate His life and as we teach His words. We shed light on a very dark world. We become salt and we make contact with the world and keep the world from decaying. And that means that we can't crawl off into a monastery somewhere. It means that we have got to get out into the world and live where people are. We cannot just have, like I said a few minutes ago, our holy huddles. You know, our Christian singles group and our Christian education group and our Christian college group and our Christian this and Christian that. At some point in time, those people have to get out in the world and make contact with it. That's the only way we can be salt, and it's the only way we can be light. God never called us to have just a holy huddle in the world. But He called us to be light, and He called us to be salt. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness to His marvelous light." And so that's our job, is to go forth and to proclaim to people the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's our responsibility. That's our job in this world. And so, church, I want to encourage you to realize the tremendous responsibility that you have to be a positive influence in our world. That you are the salt of the earth. You are, in fact, the light of the world. And there is no other. There is no other. You're it. And Jesus is counting on you. And the world's only hope is you. And I hope that you will see that today. And if we have any in our assembly that need to respond to the invitation this morning, maybe you feel like you haven't been the influence that God wants you to be. You haven't been salt, you haven't been light, and you want to rededicate yourself to Jesus Christ. And you say today that, you know what, I realize the responsibility that Jesus has given me, and I want to be that salt, and I want to be that light. I want to change today. You don't have to come forward, but you can sit right where you are and rededicate yourself to that commitment and say, that's what I want to be. I want to be salt. I want to be light. Maybe you need prayers this morning. Maybe you're struggling in your life and you're going through a tough time and maybe life's overwhelming. We would love to gather around you this morning. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to give you the opportunity this morning. We never want to gather like this and not give people a chance to be baptized into Christ. And so if you have a desire today to do that, we encourage you to do that while we stand together and sing.